Hello, everyone. It's such an honor to be with you today. I want you to know something right away. I love the local church, and I love Emmanuel Covenant Church with all my heart. I love the people of God in all our colors, cultures, stories, and seasons of life. I come from a Hispanic background. Can you notice that? Yeah? Where faith is loud, with a strong Colombian coffee, food is plentiful, and nobody walks alone. Nobody. But as I have walked with Jesus and served in different churches and cultures, I have learned this truth. If you are taking notes, I invite you to write this down. The heart of discipleship is companionship. When Jesus called his disciples, the Bible does not say he called them so they could get their theology straight, or he called them so they could adopt better habits, or even he called them so they could fix the world. Mark tells us something much simpler and deeper. So we're going to open our Bibles in Mark chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And the word of God says, afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain and called out the ones he wanted to go with him, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12 of them and called them his apostles. They were to accompany him, and he would send them out to preach. Jesus discipled by sharing life. They walk together, they ate together, they argue, they laugh, they were confused together, and they failed together. Discipleship started with companionship. Companionship with Jesus transforms us from the inside out. Peter didn't become bold because someone trained him in public speaking. He became bold because he had walked with Jesus. John didn't learn how to love because he read a book about empathy. He learned to love by leaning on Jesus' chest. Mary didn't understand resurrection because she mastered doctrine. She knew resurrection because she knew him. So before the disciples preached and went to share the gospel, before they heal, before they change the world, they were simply with him, with Jesus, and they were together. Jesus could have discipled people one-on-one only. He could have downloaded truth straight from heaven into their hearts, but he didn't. He, Jesus, formed a community. He called fishermen who smelled like fish, a tax collector who cheated his own people, a zealot with political rage, men with doubts, tempers, and broken past. That group should not have worked, but Jesus said, follow me all together. Dear church, discipleship is not just about me and Jesus. It's about us and Jesus. So, how we help each other to be disciples. In hard seasons, when we forget who we are, we remind each other who we belong to. We say, you are God's. You are not alone. This is not the end. Sometimes discipleship is simply holding someone's faith when theirs is gone. We tell the truth with love and grace. Not with judgment, not control, but gentle, courageous honesty. We practice together. Prayer becomes easier when we do it together. Scriptures make more sense when we meditate in it together. Justice, generosity, forgiveness, these are learned by doing them side by side, not alone. We protect each other from isolation. Isolation kills discipleship. Together we can notice when someone is disappearing, overwhelmed, or quietly breaking. We reach out, we sit with them, we don't let them vanish without being seen. Also, we celebrate growth. We name what God is doing, even the small changes. Celebration strengthens our faith. Let's read how the church started. And let's read in Acts chapter 2, verses 42-47. And how the early church used to practice this. The word of God says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Let's notice something important here. They didn't just meet for sermons. They ate together. They prayed together. They suffered together. They celebrated together. The Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. In community, people don't just hear teaching. They see how faith is lived. How someone forgives, prays, resists bitterness, makes decisions, loves their family, survives suffering. Discipleship is tough as much as it is tough. In my experience, some of the most powerful spiritual moments didn't happen in church services. They happen in kitchens, on couches, late at night, when someone said, I'm struggling. And someone else said, you are not alone. I'm here with you. Here, we are going to show some pictures, and these are some examples of powerful, real-life moments during the current crisis and uncertainty that we are living in Minnesota, caused by the surge of federal immigration enforcement. Moments that can illustrate true discipleship, because in moments like this, in moments that crisis, in hard moments, is when we can see real disciples and not only believers. We can illustrate here true disciples through shared life in community. These are grounded in what local communities are actually experiencing right now. Imagine neighbors laying hands on one another, providing not just medical help, but prayer at the doorstep. Not because of a program, but because of a shared life. When disciples from different backgrounds march together for justice and protection of the vulnerable, that's the body of Christ bearing witness in crisis. The spirit of hospitality and protection moves out into the streets, people sharing meals, comfort, and guidance, and the houses have now become houses of prayer. Imagine worship not centered around a pulpit, but around a street corner with a hot thermos of coffee, share stories of fear and hope, prayer circles forming spontaneously. When a teacher sits with a crying child and holds them through their tears, that is discipleship. Discipleship happens when we let people close enough to see our doubts, our habits, our struggles, our growth. Real discipleship starts when masks come off. Together we confess our doubts, our fears, our sins, and failures without being crushed by shame. Not to fix each other, but to tell the truth in love and let grace do its work. You don't need to be perfect to be a disciple. You just need to be present. If you are taking notes, I invite you to write this down. Discipleship is about a shared life. Being with people in the fear, helping each other when systems fail, sharing our burdens across cultural differences, praying together amid chaos, standing with the most vulnerable. That's the heart of discipleship, companionship through crisis. For many from different cultural and ethnic backgrounds like me, community isn't just a preference. It's part of who we are. Share spaces, extended relationships, and collective identity often shape how people grow and thrive. If we want to reach them with the good news of Jesus or help them grow in their walk with Him, we must be willing to step into the world, into their world. Entering their community isn't optional, it's essential. If you are taking notes, I invite you to write this down. Now, Jesus never intended discipleship to end with us. Jesus' invitation is very simple. It was simple. Follow me. But he never meant follow me and stop there. From the very beginning, Jesus had multiplication in mind. Mark tell us that Jesus called the disciples so that they would be with him. And then they will be send them out. Being with Jesus is the foundation, is the start point, but being sent is the fruit. If we are only following Jesus and never helping someone else to follow him, we are stopping the story too soon. Discipleship that ends with me is incomplete. Let me tell you something that I've learned growing up in a Hispanic community. Nobody ever sat me down and said, today we are going to disciple you. But I was discipled. I watched women pray through tears. I watched men repent and change. I watched people open their homes, stretch their budgets, and make room at the table. Many people in my life who didn't just teach me about Jesus, but they show me how to walk with him. Matthew 28:19 says, go and make disciples. Discipleship together doesn't happen by accident. It requires choosing relationship over convenience, choosing vulnerability over image, choosing commitment over comfort. Jesus didn't say, go if you have the right personality, or go if you feel that you are ready, or go if you know all the answers. He spoke those words to people who still have doubts, people who had failed him, people who were still learning. So everybody is ready. Everybody just need to be present and say, here I am, Lord. Making disciples is not about having it all together. This reminds me of when I pictured the disciple Peter sitting on the bench, nibbling on the fish breakfast prepared by Jesus soon after his resurrection. I imagine the guilt roiling inside Peter's head as he recalled his faithlessness, denying his Lord 3 times. Despite having boldly declared just day before, if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. But then later, Jesus asked the same Peter 3 times. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And Peter answered the 3 times, yes, I love you. Yes, I do love you. With each yes, Peter committed his life to Jesus' command to take care of his sheep. This was Peter recommissioning a revival of discipleship journey. With holy tenderness, Jesus asks you today, do you love me? Do you love me? Take care of my sheep. Take care of my sheep. It's about inviting someone else to walk with you as you follow Jesus. That is discipleship together. It's inviting someone else to walk with you as you follow Jesus. You don't need to be an expert. You need to be available. In Hispanic churches, we say, mi casa es tu casa. Can you repeat that after me? Mi casa es tu casa. My house is your house. What would happen if the church reclaimed this heart, that kind of heart? What if older believers said, walk with me? What if younger believers said, teach me? What if families opened their tables? What if small groups became spiritual families? If you are writing down, taking notes, please write this down. Discipleship together reflects the heart of God. Jesus prayed in John 17 that they may be one. Jesus prayed for unity, not for uniformity. Unity is not uniformity. We don't all worship the same. We don't all think the same. We don't all grow at the same pace. But we follow the same Savior. Amen. When a watching world sees believers from different backgrounds walking together in love, in patience, and in truth, that preaches louder than any sermon. Together, discipleship is less about fixing each other and more about facing Christ together, turning toward Him again and again, sometimes confidently, sometimes limping, sometimes carry. Discipleship happens when we say yes to Jesus. How many have said yes to Jesus? I have. Amen. Discipleship happens when we say yes to Jesus and then turn around and extend that same invitation that you receive to someone else. Jesus is still saying, follow me. And He's still saying it together. Dear brothers and sisters, may we be people who follow Jesus so closely that others want to walk with us. So let's be a church where no one grows alone, no one struggles alone, no one follows Jesus alone. Because when we disciple together, we look a lot more like the kingdom of God. Amen. May God bless you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, here we are, Lord, before you. Thank you that you have extended that beautiful invitation to follow you, Lord. And thank you for these wonderful people that are here and that are watching online also that have said yes to that invitation. Lord, but we pray that you can teach us to walk together as you walk with your disciples. Make us a church that follows you side by side. Make us a church that extends that invitation to others that we can walk together, Lord, in hard times, but also in the good times, Lord. Let us be the church, Lord, where no one grows alone, no one struggles alone, no one follows Jesus alone. Because when we disciple together, we look a lot more like the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. And here we are, Lord. We love you. And we want to take care of your sheep, Lord. We want to take care of our brothers and sisters. We want to take care of those ones, Lord, that are close to us and maybe far away from you, Lord. Let's help us to extend that invitation to others, Lord, so they can know how much you love them, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because also we can be disciples in real life, Lord. When the times are hard, when there is crisis, when people are failing, when we are struggling, when we are suffering, we can be true disciples of Jesus, Lord. Because we help each other, because we walk alongside others, because we extend the hand to those that are in need, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And thank you for challenging us to go out there and be your disciples, but also go and make disciples. Let's share the good news of Jesus and of your love and salvation to others, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.